You're listening to the Rev Ministries Podcast. This podcast is taken from the Rev Landon Schott sermons from his home church and travels around the world. For more resources or information, please check out our website at therev.com or check out our iTunes store.
It's a little surreal. It's not working. So you guys excited? Welcome everybody online watching. There's tons of people on Facebook, the interest group that can't make. People flew in from all around the country to be here. So everybody that made effort and local people. There's a couple things really, really important. We are not the next thing. We're not the new thing. We just want to be an obedient thing. And I want to start by just honoring every. And fasted and believed and bled and the tears on the ground and the visions and the prophetic words that have gone for years, I want to honor them. And I want to thank every pastor, every leader, every intercessor, every saint that's come to this soil for years. We're not trying to outdo nobody to be better. We're just trying to be obedient. And the only reason I'm standing here tonight is as I was driving through Fort Worth after an interview on Daystar, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, I'm sending you to Fort Worth. And that's why I'm here. And it's an honor to be here. I want to say one special. There's so many amazing people here tonight, but there's one person that's, besides my wife, that's very, very special. My spiritual father was a man named John Paul Jackson, and he mentored me for years. And I was on a prayer run. If you follow my podcast, I run and pray. And I was on a prayer run, and the Holy Spirit said, you need John Paul in your life to fulfill your life assignment. And I called his office, and I said, I'm not a weirdo, but this is what the Lord tell me. Because how many know when you're a Spirit-led person, you got to let people know you're not the one. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. And if someone's not smiling, they might be one of those. And his admin, who works at Gateway now, she said, I feel God. I'm thankful for Spirit. And she connected me to JP, and God used JP to literally change the trajectory of my life. His wife of over 40 years, Diane Jackson, is here tonight. She's right here. Would you just give Diane a hand? I love you. So the funny thing is, I tried to get Diane to move to Austin because we were based our traveling ministry out of Austin. She thank you so much. I was like, I'll build a house. I'll build you a room. You can live with us. Be with us. I love you. And so she was here the whole time. I had to catch up the joke. So team nights are about this. We want to respect your time tonight, but I know everybody is interested in getting more information. So I was with a couple, and we were talking about mercy culture, and we were doing these one-on-ones, and the gentleman got filled with the Holy Spirit, started speaking in tongues because we're unapologetically Spirit-filled. And so he got baptized in the Holy Spirit as we were in conversation. And then I started prophetically ministering to him. And as I was ministering to him, I had a vision of us doing that at team night. And so I was like, cool, that's what team nights are about. But if I try to sit here and tell you all the vision and our values and our beliefs and our doctrines and what we stand for and in our cultures and all that stuff, that would take too long. And so the team nights are about the heart. The team nights are about establishing the presence of God. The team nights are about going after it. Yeah. And then the information we're going to do on our Facebook interest group. If you want to know the vision of the church, that number that you just text team to, text vision to that number right now. It's 817-835-9090. And I'm going to give you briefly the vision of the church, but we're going to really unpack it to a greater degree on a weekly basis. We're going to do information videos. We're going to do Facebook Lives. We're going to do Q&As, a lot of different stuff to make sure that you guys know who we are, make sure you know we're not weird, you know, and make sure you know what we believe. We believe the Bible's the Word of God, okay? We're not adding to it. We're not taking away from it, okay? It's God's Word, okay? We believe in healing. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We love the Holy Spirit. I had some guy message me. He's like, you didn't mention Jesus once on your video. I'm like, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, the Trinity, it's all kind of, you know. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Don't come. Don't worry about it. You know? If you text vision to 817-835-9090, you're going to see the diagram. So here's what mercy culture is about, real quick, okay? We're about encountering God through mercy. Amen. That's what we're about. So, but here's the difference, okay? Our heart's desire is to take people from corporate encounters to daily personal encounters. But this is really important, okay? Because a lot of spirit-filled churches, their end game is the church service. It's not ours. And I'll be honest with you, I go way deeper by myself without y'all. I was just holding back tears, weeping, driving around the city this morning as the Lord was speaking to me. But you ain't in the car with me. It was just me and the King. I have a young man that I mentor. His name's Rex. He's watching right now. He lives in Phoenix. And I remember 7 years ago, we're sitting in Phoenix, and he's crying in my living room. And he says, everyone can hear God but me. And he was helping me move from Austin to Fort Worth here a few months ago, 4 months ago. And he was like, hey, Rev. He calls me Rev. He's like, hey, you know that when you're about to fall asleep and you're kind of tired, but you start hearing that whisper of the Holy Spirit speaking to you? And I just start hitting him. I'm like, bro, do you remember 6 years ago when you said you couldn't hear God? And now you're hearing God. Listen, the pastor hears God for you. The game changer is when you hear God for yourself. And the pastor could be the yes and amen. Mercy culture is about taking people from corporate encounters. But y'all, we're going to count in the presence of God together. Okay? But from corporate encounters to private encounters. Daily personal encounters. And people say, well, is it your vision to change Fort Worth? No, that's your vision. Job is to get from God. Preach at FCA, I'm like, why? You're so much better at it than me. He's dynamic in that setting. Watching him with the coaches and the players, it's like he just turns on. So why am I going to go do half a good as job doing what he's doing? It's my job just to pray for him. It's my job to cover him. It's my job to be his biggest fan. What we're doing at Mercy Culture is teaching people how to hear from God. When I was doing this fast praying into Mercy Culture, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, get Robert Morris's blessing before you start the church. And I met Pastor Robert for 30 seconds, probably about 3 seconds, in 2000, and was it 13 or 14? Jacob, when was the REC conference? So 2013, we're at the REC conference, our first prophetic conference. It was John Paul and I and a bunch of friends. It was amazing. We did this prophetic conference at Shady Grove Church. The weekend they became Gateway. So I was sitting in the front row and got to shake Pastor Robert's hand. To this day, that's the only encounter I've ever had with Pastor Robert. And I'm praying in the Holy Ghost because God speaks to you when you pray in the Holy Ghost. God speaks to you when you pray in the Holy Ghost. I don't know about you. I ran out of things to pray for. After like 15 minutes, I had to pray in the Holy Ghost. And I'm driving around the city, and on the first fast, and I hear the Holy Spirit say, get Pastor Robert's blessing. So I call my friend Josh Briscoe. He's the only person I know at Gateway. And I was like, hey, this is what the Lord told me. And he sent me to a friend who sent me to a friend, and I just started obeying. And they said, I was at a Jimmy Evans pastor school, and they said, well, Pastor Robert can pray for you real quick, but it won't be that long, and it's not going to be that personal, but he'll do it. Or if you're not in a hurry, we could wait and maybe down the road have some more time. I'm like, I'm not in a hurry. I don't even know when I'm planning this church. That's fine. And so they gave me Tom Lane's book, Foundations of a Church Government. And I read the book, and I was like, this is brilliant. This is so good. This is healthy. And so I reached out to Pastor Tom, and I said, I have 18 questions to ask you. I heard you like McDonald's. Can we go to McDonald's? And so I went and met him at McDonald's, and I was like, hey, I got 18 questions, but I don't know if I'll ever get a meeting with you again. So do you have any questions for me? How do you want this meeting to go? And he's like, well, yeah, I do. What do you think about Gateway planting you? I'm like, do you guys do that? And he said, no. I'm like, well, what would that look like? He's like, I don't know. I'm like, you're Tom Lane. You're supposed to know. And he's like, let's pray. And I had 14, Jasmine was with us. We had 14, that was the weekend we filmed that video. And we rented a house at TCU and filmed it there. And I was like, I got 14 members of our team here. What are you, like, the ball's rolling. What do we do? And he said, well, let's just pray. So we prayed. And my pastor is a man named Zane Anderson from Tucson, Arizona. And when John Paul passed away, Anderson really stepped in as a father in my life. And when I started the 40-day fast, he said, a year from now, God will speak to you. And you're going to hear the voice say, this is the result of the fast. And when I was sitting there with Tom Lane, he invited me to come and intern as Gateway would plant us. And we're part of the Gateway Apostolic Network. And when he invited me to do it, I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me in that conversation at Starbucks and heard him say, this is a result of the fast. So the first fast was a year ago May, and then I did it again in January. I did one more 40-day fast, and I'm not gloating over that. I'm just trying to obey. Mercy culture is built in hearing and obeying. And I fasted for you. I did a 40-day fast, and I said, Lord, would you send the people that love your spirit, who will come and partner with your spirit to establish a presence-driven church in Fort Worth. And so when the RSVPs just kept growing and growing and growing, at first I was surprised, and then I was like, I fasted for this. I met Cynthia on a trail on my knees on Saturday. I was on my knees like a weirdo praying, and she stops by and she says, are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm fine. I'm just praying. I figured if the Muslims can do it, we can do it. Just got some Facebook hate. Just kidding. It's the interest group only. And she said, I'm an intercessor. And I said, I've been praying for you. I asked the Lord to send me you. I want to let you know, if you're 40 and up, I asked the Lord for you. Young people don't know how to pray. We're going to teach them. Come on, let's be real. I surround myself with people that know how to pray. People that know the Lord. People that have experienced life. I call it the weight of life. That they have faced trauma and still come to Jesus. Yes. Young people, I want those people around me. This ain't a hipster church. It's not a millennial church. This is a church, and what's in my heart is all ages, all diversities, coming around the presence of God together. Amen? Last thing I want to say before we get into the message portion, and I won't teach long, I'm just going to share my heart, is I'm here because of obedience. And I want you here because it's obedience. And it's so important to transition well. And if you're coming from another church, I want you to transition well. So make sure you're prayerful. Make sure that you have the blessing of who's sending you. Make sure you do it right, because we're going to birth this church in health. And if you're not healthy, the church won't be healthy. Gateway is our apostolic covering. They're sending us. And I know there's people from Gateway here. And if you are from Gateway, we're glad you're here. But even people from Gateway, we're going to do it right. And so if you're from Gateway, I want you to make sure you let us know, because we're going to go through the proper protocol with Gateway North Fort Worth campus, Pastor Mondo Davis, and we're going to have conversations and just make sure that everybody's healthy and on the same page, because we're going to walk in honor. And we're going to go serve at Gateway as a team, part of our pre-launch. So we're going to go serve them and learn from them. And this is a kingdom thing, guys. This is a kingdom thing. And so we're going to walk in honor. So if it's Gateway or whatever church you go to, it's so important that as you transition godly with integrity and honor. Amen? Amen? So you guys are here because you felt that kick. I don't know how many people I've tried to talk out of. Just stay, just do your thing. Some individuals that lead ministries, sometimes they say stuff like, you can't start a church with a transplant. You know, these little cliches they do. And my response is, some people need transplants or they die. I just heard a story from Pastor Robert this morning about getting transplant blood that saved his life. And when we prayed and fasted, Heather at times she would come to me crying and she'd say, I'm hearing the prayers of the saints in the city. I'm hearing their prayers for a spirit-led church. And I'm telling you, I had no plans on planting a church. I've spent the last 10 years saying no. I did 87 flights last year. I've been a full-time evangelist for 7 years. And things were rolling and great and everything was good. And then the Lord said, I'm sending you to Fort Worth. And then we fasted for 40 days and on the first fast. And one of my best friends, Russell Johnson, called me on the third day of the fast. And he said, hey, I just had a dream and you're standing over a map of Fort Worth. Does that mean anything? I said, we're praying about starting here. And she about jumped out of the chair. And she's itty bitty, but she's feisty. And she goes, do you know Paul and I pastored here? I said, no. She said, 30 years ago. I said, JP didn't tell me. She says, I think God's calling you to redig the wells. Everybody here is here because of obedience. And let me tell you what we're doing. We're not building this church around Landon or Heather Schott. We're not building this church around you. We're building this church around the presence of God. When I was praying about doing this and wrestling with it, because I said no forever, so now I have to backtrack on what I said no about. It's one of those things, like, never tell God no. You know what I mean? Like, lesson learned. And I told a pastor friend of mine, and I was preaching for him traveling, and he said, you don't want a pastor. You'd be miserable. He said, a guy like you, you'd feel trapped in a box. You'd be suffocated. And guys, I couldn't tell you why. I was so irritated. It was like righteous indignation, like, lit up in me. I was mad. And I later learned the Lord used him to provoke me, because I sat down on the plane. And the moment I sat down on the plane, I heard the Holy Spirit say, you would only feel trapped if it was built around you. And I'm telling you, it shifted me. And then I'm like, sweet, I'm not responsible. I'm not responsible for the money. I'm not responsible to do it. I'm not responsible to get people back. I'm not responsible to make anything happen. I'm only responsible to obey. That's it. And a guy said, how'd you get Gateway to do that? I didn't get Gateway to do anything. I just obeyed what I heard God. And this is what we're doing. Hear me clearly. We are building this church not around one person. Not around an event, not around a ministry. We're building this church around the presence of God. If you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus 33. Exodus 33, you'll see those Roman numerals on our graphics and on our website and the hat I wear. At 33, I'm going to start in 12, but 33:13 is the primary verse. It says, Moses said to the Lord, you've been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know who sent with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. Verse 13, this is the mercy culture. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Holy Spirit, I ask you to teach us your mercy culture. Everything is for you, Holy Spirit. So speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I could not shake Exodus 33:13 when I was on this fast. I kept coming back to it every single day, coming back to it. And since 2015, I told you I've been traveling the last 7 years as an evangelist. I've been a prophetic minister. What do I mean by prophetic minister? As I seek the Lord, he speaks to me on what to preach, and then I go preach. And I started themes of the year. First year is righteousness, and then deliverance, and then giants. The year I wrote a book on biblical sexuality, and then the next word was mercy. And every year I'd go seek the Lord on these different topics. And so it was at the end of last year, and I couldn't shake it. I think it was more something deep in it. And what blew me away about Exodus 13:33 is Moses is saying, teach me your ways that I may know you and find favor. He's saying, Lord, who are you? But what reached out to me about the scripture is that this is after the burning bush. This is after the plagues. This is after the Exodus. This is after, like, he already knew God. He said, I'd seen your fire, but I want to know the author of the flame. And after he's already experienced God, he's still wanting more. That's my heart's desire, is I can't get enough. That's why I love this scripture. His mercies are new every morning. I'm not a Holy Ghost junkie that wants more encounters. I'm a presence-driven fanatic that just wants more of his presence. And whatever expression of his presence he chooses to do, I'm fine with. I just know I need to be in his presence. But that wasn't always the case with Moses. See, if you go from Exodus 33 to Exodus 3, he's at the burning bush. This is crazy scripture. It says this in Exodus 3. It says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him. You don't have to turn there. You can just listen to me. And the flame of fire was in the bush. So he'd gone over to look, and here the Lord called him, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. He said, take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. Verse 6, it says this. He says, I am the Lord your God, the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. At Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. This has wrecked me all week. Moses first saw the presence, he hid his face. What jumped out to me about that was the exact response of Adam and Eve in the garden. For some reason, like the last 5 years, I keep coming back to the garden. Every revelation on righteousness comes back to the garden. Every revelation on deliverance comes back to the garden. Adam and Eve walked and they talked with God. They were constantly in his presence. And we know the story. They fell. They sinned. And they were banished from the Garden of Eden. And it wasn't pain in childbearing or just the land producing fruit that was the real punishment. The great punishment was the relationship with God. They had to leave the garden. And the Bible says that an angel stood with the fire of the Lord and protected it from keep going back in. If you study Jewish history, some Jewish theologians will say that Adam and Eve tried their best to get in, to find a way to get in, but they couldn't. They desired the presence of God. The angel banished them from the garden. But as I was praying into this and I was asking the Lord to teach me about the mercy culture, I was driving in my car praying in the Holy Ghost, because God speaks to you when you pray in the Holy Ghost. And I heard the Holy Spirit whisper to me, and he said this, I missed them. I'm telling you, something shifted in me. God missed them. He desired to be with them again. The problem is that he's a holy God. And Adam and Eve were banished from the garden, and Moses, because he was afraid, because of sin in his life. This is what happened in our world. We're living in a fallen, sinful world, and they think that they cannot ever get in the presence of God again until mercy. In Exodus chapter 25, I love this scripture. God is giving Moses instructions. It says, you shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark, and there will be the testimony that I give you. Watch this, guys. He says, there I will meet you from above at the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim under the ark of the testimony, and there I will speak to you. The place that God meets with his people is at the mercy seat. Mercy is where relationship is restored. Now, this is crazy. I was driving to Gateway this morning, and I was on rotation, and I'm driving, and I'm praying the Holy Ghost, because God speaks to you when you pray in the Holy Ghost. And I was thinking about the garden, and I was thinking about Moses, and I was thinking about the separation, and I was thinking about mercy. And I heard the Holy Spirit say this to me. He said, it was a cherubim. You know how you say things and you just hear it over time and you just kind of run with it? So I'd always said, and you always thought, and you hear that the angel at the garden with the fiery sword was an angel. It was an angel, but it wasn't just a regular angel. It was a cherubim. Y'all ready for this? And God put a cherubim on top of the mercy seat, so that when the blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat for atonement, that's when they had access to the presence of God. So Jesus came, watch, with his ultimate sacrifice as the mercy seat to bring his blood to give us access back to the presence of God. He said, there I will meet you at the place called mercy. I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me this morning. He said, I created mercy so people could come back into my presence. Yes. Get on your guitar. I don't want to go too long. Mercy was created for presence. You know what mercy means in Scripture? Undeserved kindness. What you don't deserve, what you can't earn, what you can't get by works. What's frustrated me as a young minister is so many people are attributing grace what is actually mercy. Mercy is the sinner's best friend. David committed the greatest sin of his life. Please fill me up. And after he committed the greatest sin of his life, he said, let me fall into the hands of a merciful God. There's over 467 scriptures in the Bible on mercy. His mercy endures forever. His mercies are new every morning. He's a merciful God. And I don't care what people have done. I don't care about sexual orientation. I don't care how many divorces they had. I don't care what drugs they've been on. Heather, as a teenage drug addict, alcoholic, overdosed on Oxycontin, and she met a fiery youth pastor 3 months off drugs. And she fell in love with Jesus and fell in love with me. She got filled with the Holy Ghost on her second date. I baptized her in the lake she used to party at. I didn't look at her as a drug addict. I didn't look at her, well, you're an alcoholic. This has been through. This is your past. God showed me what he saw. I want Mercy Culture Church to see the people of Fort Worth and see what he sees. Watch, a God that can't wait to be with him. That he created mercy so that they can be in the presence together. Mercy Culture Church is going to be a church that's built around the presence of God. Exodus 33:13, Moses says, "Who are you, Lord?" If you study this in different texts, he says, "Show me your ways." I love this. Because in Exodus 3, he couldn't look at a holy God. But after he experienced mercy, he couldn't take his eyes off a holy God. And he said, "I'm never looking away again after fire, after plagues, after the Exodus, after everything. I still want more of your presence. I still want more of your power. I want more of your goodness. Lord, I want everything that you have to offer. I want you." He said, "Lord, teach me your ways that I may know you and find favor." He said, "Who are you, God?" In Exodus 34, God said, "Go up on this mountain. I'm going to show you who I am. I'm going to meet with you." And God responded, "I am the Lord, a merciful God." Church, watch this. When Moses asked, "Who are you?" God responded, "I am mercy." We're not building this church to attract people. We're building this church to attract the Holy Spirit. Watch. In Exodus 3, Moses said, "Who am I?" In Exodus 33, he said, "Who are you?" This church isn't about me, and it's not about you. It's about him. Amen. And from day one, it's about him. For day one, it's about his presence. We are building a presence-driven church that's built around the mercy of God. Bow your heads and close your eyes all over this place. If you want to stand, you can stand. What we're going to declare, Holy Spirit, would you draw near to us right now? Father, we need your mercy. Father, I ask you to teach us your mercy culture. Lord, we love you. I felt in my spirit tonight that we're going to encounter God, encounter mercy. And here's what I want to let you know. I don't know how long you've been serving the Lord. Some of you are saints. Some of you have been serving the Lord a long time. Almost everybody in this drawn by the Holy Spirit. Mercy, he says, mercies are new every morning. I don't care how long you've been serving the Lord. A heart's cry is, "Lord, I want to be close. Lord, I want more of you. I want everything that you have." Come on, Mercy Culture. Lift your hands today. Let's just begin to ask for his mercy. And marriage, ask him for mercy right now. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. We invite you to fill this place. Lord, we declare, have your way in this place tonight. Come on, stand to your feet with me. Lift your hands to declare this. Come on, Jasmine. It's okay. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. Come on, church. Lift your voice and declare. We give you glory. We give you honor. Father, we love you. We worship you. We adore you. Have your way.
You provide fire.
You provide the fire.
You provide the fire.
I'll sing. There's worship leaders all over this place. Worship. There's intercessors all over this place.
The fire. I provide the fire.
You provide the spirit.
You provide the spirit.
I will open up
sing. Your mercy. We need your mercy.
Fill me up. Fill me up.
Come on.
Fill me up. Fill me up. Fill me up, God.
Give them your best tonight. We love
you. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God.
I just the Holy Spirit. And he said, he just prompted my heart. After Elizabeth felt the kick of the Holy Spirit, Mary, Elizabeth came in the room. Because it's crazy, Heather and I were filming at TCU. We didn't plan on what we're saying in that. Some of you are going to feel a kick. And I felt the kick when I said it. I literally felt, I came up when I said it. The country have messaged us and said, we felt the kick. But do you know what after you feel, after what happened, the whole period as we were just being together. He said, birth. Would you lift your hands to a holy night? Feel in your spirit, not giving birth to a church, you're giving birth. Dreams, visions, you stop dreaming. I'm telling you, you're going to the Holy Spirit say, you're still going to give birth to that dream. You're giving birth. Holy Ghost. If you felt the kick, means you're still pregnant with it. Oh. I don't want to be weird. I just want to be obedient. Put your hands on your back if you feel like you're pregnant with vision. Oh. I'm getting ahead of myself, but you know what the culture church is? A house vision. Do you know what that means? It means my vision is to house your vision, our vision. Accomplish the call of God on your life. If you feel like you're putting some things on your this place, pray over that belly. Lay hands. When my wife is pregnant, we lay hands and we pray baby. That same thing. Pray over that vision right now. It's not dead right now. It's not. It's not. Whoa. And I declare this kick is for the Holy Spirit. Mercy culture. The kick was about what you were pregnant with. Wow. Whoa, I feel the Holy Ghost. The kick from Elizabeth wasn't about Jesus, but what John was called to do. I love you, Spirit. The kick felt wasn't about us. It wasn't about me. It was about you. That's why you can't explain it. That's why it feels weird. That's why it doesn't make sense. Some of you are like, I don't even know God. Right now, this is what I ask the Lord for right now. Lord, fill him. Right? Sweet. It's not forced. I declare, as the lead pastor over Mercy Culture, that you fulfill the call of God on your life. I declare what the Lord spoke to you. Some of you, it's been 10, 20 years. I declare it is not dead. I declare right now over your life that the Holy Spirit do what he said. He's going to God, a man that he would lie or change his mind, doesn't speak and fulfill. So I declare every word curse over life in ministry broken. Declare what Jackson declare after me. Go succeed. Go succeed. He said, go succeed. Go succeed. Obey God. Oh, and there's a sweet Spirit of God in brood.
Thank you for listening to the Rev Ministries podcast. If this message has blessed you, we want to encourage you to share it with a friend. For more information about this ministry and how you can make a difference by financially supporting us, please visit our website at therev.com. For full-length sermons and episodes on audio or video, please visit us at therev.com or search for us on iTunes.